Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
We start a new section of God's Word today, the Psalm 23. We just sung it out of our Psalter, and we're very familiar, of course, with the words. But boys and girls, there is one thing about God's Word we should ever remember. No matter how many times you come to a portion, and how well you think you know the portion, you'll always find something new. You'll always find something new. All of you probably have a toy box at home, to which you resort on many occasions. And though you find it exciting to rediscover some old toy that you'd forgotten about, it's not new. There are no new toys in there. Well, God's Word is not like that. Yes, we discover with joy old truths that we have in the past learned, but there's always something fresh and new, always. And I hope that as we look at this psalm, we'll find something very precious and new for each one. I'm only going to read the very first verse of the psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have a little bit of introducing of this psalm to do before we get to actually studying the opening words. Now, where and when David wrote this psalm, we're not sure. It could have been when he was well on in life, looking back to his very earliest days. And let me tell you, that's what you do when you get older. You look back. You don't look back much, because you have nothing to look back to. You're only young. You haven't done very much. And what you have done up to now, you hardly recall, because it didn't really register with you. But there will come a day you will look back to these days. You'll remember. You'll remember coming through the doors. You'll remember sitting down here and singing, bowing in prayer. You'll remember the wonderful preacher that used to speak to you. I don't know why some of you are smiling, but you'll remember these things. And I hope that you have the most pleasurable memories when you do get older. So we're not sure just when David wrote this psalm, what age he was, or what stage of his life he'd come to. But we do know that his thoughts carried him back to those days when he was a shepherd lad, looking after his father's sheep. Now David was the youngest in his family, youngest boy, and it fell to him to look after the sheep. Probably older brothers had this duty before David was old enough to take up the duty, and they were only too glad to get rid of it, I feel. They thought it was a very menial task. Thought it wasn't a very important task, looking after the sheep, when there were so many other exciting things to do. And because of this, it would appear that his brothers didn't think that much of David. Now, if you have other members in your family, I hope you don't have that attitude. I'm bigger, I'm older than you, and you look down on younger ones. I hope you don't do that. I'd rather have a tender attitude toward them. You older ones, if you turn to Samuel chapter 17, you will find there a little incident that helps us understand the attitude toward David. In the chapter 17 and the verse 28 we read, and Eliab, his eldest brother, and I have a feeling that his attitude toward David was representative of his other brothers as well. Eliab, his elder brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. You remember when David came and heard Goliath, he was stirred up, and he was basically saying, why isn't somebody going out and dealing with this man? Is there nobody going to go and fight him? That basically was what David was saying. He was showing a reaction to this evil man and his boastful shouting against Israel and against God. And David, no, a lad, he was stirred up. And that in turn annoyed his brother. I think it annoyed him because he knew he should have been doing something. It's wonderful how this comes about, boys and girls. When somebody does right, it annoys us if we're not doing right. I just read this morning in 1 John that Cain killed his brother. Do you know why? Because his brother was doing the right thing and Cain was doing the wrong thing. And it annoyed him that his brother was doing the right thing. And so he killed his brother. And there's that spirit here. He lives angry with David because David was saying the right things. He was showing the right attitude, the right reaction to Goliath's evil words. And here's what he said. His anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, the badness of your heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Now, we could study those words closely and we would see in them many falsehoods and deceits, because this wasn't why David was there. He was there because his father sent him, and his father sent him with food for his brothers. He was doing his father's will, and he was caring for his brothers. But his brother had this spiteful attitude toward him, and they counted him as nothing. Where did you leave those few sheep? Eliab didn't even care too much for the flock of his father. No, he wasn't too well thought of. But even his father seems to have not too high an opinion of David. Because if you go back, you older ones, I keep saying that, but I notice everybody turns up the portion. If you go back to chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, there you have that wonderful event when the prophet Samuel is sent to the house of Jesse, David's father, and he's told, "I have amongst the boys there one chosen. He's going to be king." And Samuel came, and he naturally thought, "Oh, it'll be the oldest one, big, strong fellow." And God said, "No, it's not him." And one after another, the sons are presented to Samuel, and each time the Lord says, "No, it's not him." And when the last brother that had been brought stood before Samuel and was dismissed by God, well, who else is there? "Have you any more sons, Jesse?" "Well, I have. I have a young one. And he's off looking after the sheep." And I think that displays the fact that the father didn't even think that David was worthy to be considered for the role that God had planned for one of his sons. And he hadn't even brought David. David was still out there, knowing nothing of what was going on. So the Lord said to Samuel, "You get him to bring David in." So David came, and immediately there was something very special about David. He was a fine, handsome lad of striking appearance. And the Lord has the Spirit of God record that. And in the verse 11, we'll look there, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. "And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy," that is, a very fresh, healthy-looking complexion. Face had a good bloom on it, reddish cheeks, and withal of a beautiful countenance. He was handsome and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." This is the one. So his father hadn't even brought him in amongst the brothers. He didn't include him. And I think that that indicates that David wasn't that much thought of in the family. Hard to believe. But boys and girls, let me tell you, it only illustrates that, first and foremost, the Lord Jesus himself wasn't thought well off. Do you know that when he went out and began his ministry and was preaching and healing and working miracles, his own brothers didn't believe in him? They were just like Eliab and the other members of David's family. They didn't have a high regard for their brother, the Lord Jesus. And also it illustrates the fact that the sons and daughters of God in this world are not thought highly of. The world sneers at the Christian, doesn't think highly of the Christian. And that's illustrated for us in the life of David. But whatever the brothers thought, the Lord thought differently. Oh, doesn't matter what the world may say, or any may say about us and run us down and count us as nothing. It's God's opinion that counts. What does the Lord think of you today? What does the Lord think of you today? Does he look down and say, this is the one, this is my child, my love is set upon him, I have plans for him or her, I have plans for them. So it was then with David. Now, Samuel was told that he was to arise and anoint David. And when he did that, something very special happened. Look at verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn, that's the horn of Pau, which when it's hollowed out and cleaned and so forth, makes a good cup, a good container. And Samuel had carried oil in the horn of a cow. And so he takes this horn of oil, and he anointed David in the midst of his brethren, poured out a little on his head. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Something happened. Oh, every eye that was there saw the oil coming out of the horn and falling on the head of David. But what they didn't see, the Spirit of God coming on David. Boys and girls, there's a lesson there. It's a lesson that I don't think is stressed today as it was stressed when I first became a Christian. And the lesson is this. When the child of God is saved, when they become Christian, the Spirit of God dwells within. Well, he's the one that brings life to us, that works this miracle whereby we are born again. But the Spirit of God wants more than just to dwell in you. He wants to fill you. He wants to fill you. He wants to rule you. He wants to control you. And I can so well remember in the early days of my own Christian experience, the emphasis from the pulpit there was on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can remember in the prayer meetings and in our own prayer times, you prayed that God would fill you with the Holy Ghost, that you would know all there was to know of God's power. The first word spoken to me by Dr. Paisley, after he showed from God's word what it meant to be saved, cleared away all my doubts and fears. And then he said, young lad, read your Bible every day and pray to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That was an emphasis in the ministry of Ian Paisley. And I believe what happened to David that day was, he was already a believer. David was already saved, I have no doubt about that. But from that day forward, he now experienced the power of the Holy Ghost to a greater measure. And that's what you need. Listen to me. That's what you need. And you should pray, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. You'll not be filled with the Holy Spirit until you let go of everything and throw out of your life everything that's contrary to God. Do you remember the woman who came to Elisha the prophet complaining that she owed money and couldn't pay it, and the one to whom she owed the money was going to take her son away and make him a slave so that he would pay back the debt? And Elisha said, look, what have you in the house? She said, I have a pot of oil. Well, he said, gather in all the vessels you can, all the pots you can, and empty them. Take out whatever you have in the pots. Oh, she would have had a pot for potatoes. She would have had a pot probably for cabbages. She would have had a pot for just about anything and everything. Just the way in your house, vegetables and all the rest is stored. Well, back then they would have used pots to store things. So she empties all the pots that she has. And Elisha said, I take that pot of oil and pour it out. And it probably was a small pot, but miraculously it poured out and 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 it filled the big pot. And she went to another and she poured out and poured out and poured out until all the pots that she had emptied were filled with the oil. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit until you're emptied of yourself. David's, I believe, filled with the Spirit of God on this occasion. And he became a changed lad, consequently. Oh, he was already a saved lad, and he was walking with God, but now there was a fullness of God's blessing in his life. And that's why when he came to the battlefield, I've mentioned that already, and he heard Goliath cursing, mocking God and Israel, he didn't react the way all the others in the army were reacting. They went away and hid, it says. They were scared of this. Not David. He was grieved and vexed that Goliath was being allowed to say these things day in and day out. And he's ready to fight him. Why? Because I believe David was full of the Holy Spirit. That makes all the difference. That makes all the difference. You become a bold Christian when the Holy Spirit fills you. You don't creep around keeping quiet and hiding away from those who despise the gospel, but you come out ready to stand up for the Lord and his word. He was a changed lad. Then again, though he was anointed king, for that day God said, "You're my king." And though he wasn't recognized as God's king, because chapter 16, he's anointed king, chapter 17, his brother's running him down and mocking him. So he wasn't even recognized among his family as God's king. But though he was God's king, he still humbly looked after his father's sheep. I say that because in chapter 17, even though he had been anointed king, in chapter 16 and chapter 17, his brother says, "Where are those sheep you're supposed to be looking after?" Well, David had left them with someone to look after while he did his father's will and brought the food to his brothers. You see, he was doing his father's will, humbly carrying out the duties that became him. Well, that's a feature of being filled with the Holy Ghost. David's days as a shepherd boy were days in which God prepared him to be a king. Now, not many people would have recognized that the lad who was out there in the wilderness area, far from home, on his own with the sheep, that was actually God's classroom to teach David to be a good king. But that's where he was, and that's what was happening. We find David in 2 Samuel chapter 24 in the verse 17, and he's now king and has been king for quite some time, and an incident has taken place in which he had done wrong, and he had caused the judgment of God to fall upon the people. And David stepped forward and said, "Lord, it's my fault. Don't blame the people." And they called the people the sheep. Here he was king, and he looked upon the people over whom he ruled and reigned as sheep, as his flock. You see, God had been teaching him while he was a shepherd boy to care for those over whom he would reign. So God was preparing him to be king while he was just a humble shepherd boy. But more than that, in his days as a shepherd, the Lord taught him about the Lord. You see, as David went about caring for the sheep and doing those things that he had as a shepherd to do for the sheep, and there were many things, he realized, this is what the Lord's doing for me. As I look after these sheep, make sure that they're fed and watered and kept safe, that's what the Lord does for me. He's my shepherd. So in those days, though young, David was only a teenager, you know, when he was anointed king. A teenager. But God was teaching him the greatest of all truths. He was revealing himself to David and showing David that as he cared for the sheep, so the Lord was caring for him. Do you ever think about how the Lord cares for you, boys and girls? You have lessons at home. God's called our Father. Doesn't your Father look after you at home? Doesn't he provide for you? The Lord's care is like that of a mother. He carries us in his arms, just like a mother, so that you have in your home lessons that teach you about God's care for you. So David was taught about God's care for him and how it was he, as a shepherd, looked after his sheep. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, the verse 8, It says he followed the sheep. He followed the sheep. That's a funny thing. He's here out in the wilderness. The shepherd just let the sheep go. And they went off looking for grass to eat. And the shepherd just followed along behind, making sure that everything was all right. Oh, boys and girls, if we would look behind us, there's the Lord following in our footsteps, looking out for us. It says he fed the sheep. When he said he was ready to go and fight Goliath, the king at that time was Saul, and Saul sent for him and talked to him about what it was he was saying. And they said, you know, this is a big man. He's been at war since his youth. What do you know about it? And David says that when I was looking after the sheep, I fed them. He says, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And that word kept, 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, that word appears in Genesis. And there in Genesis 29, verse 7, is translated by the word feed. So when David says to Saul, I kept my father's sheep, I kept them fed. That's what he means. I kept them provided for. That's what God does for us, boys and girls. That's why when we sit down at the table to eat, we bow and we give thanks. Or at least we should, because God's the one who has provided the food. But more than following the sheep, looking after them, more than feeding the sheep, it says he defended the sheep. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 to 36. He explains to King Saul, I'm not inexperienced. When I was a shepherd, a lion came and tackled my sheep, and a bear as well. And I went out, and I rescued the sheep, and I killed the lion and the bear. So I know a bit about fighting, King Saul. Boys and girls, the Lord fights our battles. The Lord fights our battles. He defends us. He takes care of us. Just like David, it says he took the sheep that the lion and the bear had laid hold on, he took it out of their mouth, right out of the place of death. He rescued the sheep. That's what the Lord has done for you. Brings us to Calvary, doesn't it? For at Calvary, the Lord Jesus snatched us from the jaws of hell and saved us, taking our place and dying in our room. I'm going to close with two thoughts that are based on this first verse. Simple thought. What does the first verse say? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm going to point out to you a little word that's in that verse. The word is. Two letters. Oh, but what a truth it conveys. What a truth it conveys. Here's assurance. Here's confidence. The Lord is my shepherd. Not a maybe, or a perhaps, or a hope. A lot of people say that. I hope I'm going to heaven. I'd like to go to heaven. David said the Lord is. The true Christian can say, I'm going to heaven. I know. I'm sure. And that's what that little word is. Confess to us. Oh, boys and girls, let me ask you personally. I'd love to come down now and just walk amongst you and tap each one of you and say, well, do you know that the Lord is your shepherd? Do you know that? Are you sure? Oh, to be sure. Then, the other little element of this verse is, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Another little word, shall. It's a bit bigger, a few more letters. But it's one in which David displays his confidence in his well-being. Because the Lord is my shepherd, all's well with me. I shall not want. You might say to mommy when you're out shopping, I want, and you point at the Mars bar or something. I want. You feel you need it. So that explains to us what it means to want. David says, because I have the Lord, I don't need anything. There is no want in my life, no emptiness in my life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oh, to know that all is well, and that I'll not want anything in this life or in the life to come. Because the Lord's my shepherd, is he yours? Is he yours? Do you know how you know whether he's yours or not? In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice and follow me." You can know if the Lord is your shepherd by the fact that you hear his voice, you follow him. Think on that. And may the Lord bless you, boys and girls. Let's quickly bow in prayer. Lord, bless your word to the hearts of all here today. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.